By the grace of God, let us continue our meditation in a verse in the lesson, which our dear friend has correctly anticipated in the hymn. The second book of the Kings, chapter 4, and verse 26. 2 Kings 4, 26. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Word of explanation. You will have noticed that the text was announced in that form. We continue our meditation in this scripture. For I seem to have some remembrance of endeavoring to preach from this sacred subject, Gower Street, on some previous occasion. For the well is infinitely deep, and the divine subject flows into our spirits with some degree of inspiration, so that it will be right and honoring to our blessed Lord to seek by his Spirit to draw up a little more of that living water from this infinitely deep well of divine love and grace for the refreshing and cheering of your spirits. Very monumental the scripture is, and unique. We have here a trio: dear mother, dear father, and the dear son, who was lying on the bed of the man of God. Great significance in that. And a very concise, tremendously important question was put to her, far greater significance than faring well here below. No greater question can ever be put to a poor sinner, a mortal of the human race. The question may well be put to us on this Lord's Day forenoon, and it was a complete question. If you like, it was plenary, because it covered the family, and it covered everything like a broad spectrum. Everything that related to this trio. Oh, what a great question. Is it well with thee? And the answer only the Lord can give his people grace to pronounce from a full heart, under the influence of his love. Friends, you are the happiest, amongst the happiest of people on the face of this planet, if by divine warrant and grace you are able to respond to this incisive, penetrating question in the affirmative. For it was a positive response. And so he said to her, "Is it well?" It would take a volume of sermons under the inspiration of the Spirit to endeavor to do justice to this small, yet eternally important word, "well." And she replied to that question, without any doubt. There was no hesitation, no cloud of darkness. "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" She knew the little boy was dead on the bed of the man of God. But, friends, think of this happiness. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death cannot, life cannot, nothing. They were one, the trio, one. One in the covenant of grace, one in the great heart of God, one bound up together in the bundle of life with the Lord our God. And she had the complete assurance of this. Wonderful to have the assurance of faith. And concerning your families, oh, the wonder if you know that it is well. So she responded in this most blessed way to the glory of God, not because she was walking or they were walking in an easy path, not because everything was smooth, because they had come into, or she had especially come into, a great trial. The sorest trial. The little lad dead. Now this is a great evidence and potent and positive proof of your relationship with God in Christ. And that he has blessed you with living union to the Lord Jesus, and that you have received the sweet fruits of his victory and his glorious resurrection, sitting down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit is sweet to your taste. And so, in profound reverence, deep humility, the fervency of love, the holiness of faith, and of adoration, she thus responded, "It is well." Before I take another step, let us on this Lord's Day forenoon in Gower Street Memorial Chapel in the heart of London, let us listen to that question. And in the name of the Lord, let me put that question to you. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? What is your response? And why do I wish to underline and emphasize this? Because of the rapid flight of time. I don't know how many years it is now, possibly 42 or 43 years ago since I first spoke here. Well, you see, We are now in life's evening time. It will soon be eternity for us. Think of all the dear friends, the deacons and the dear ones who have worshipped here, who are with the Lord. Now, very soon it will be with us that we launch into eternity. And so, how tremendously important this is. Paramount. Nothing can ever transcend the importance of it. Is it well with thee? I pray just now, or rather we pray together, that we might have a happy day, a day with a little joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. A day when a beam from the sun of righteousness shall penetrate all the dark clouds and bring healing into our spirit. Now then, if you'll get that, you'll be able to respond. But what is the response now? Are you able to join with this dear woman, this great woman, and say, it is well? And could you give, this may be just an interesting and profitable appendix, if we will say you met a genuine inquirer, or possibly one of your children, and they said to you, mother, father, or they may say that to you in the Sunday school, what do you mean by it is well? What would your response be? Would you be able to define from a gracious living experience the meaning of this? It is well. Undoubtedly, it is a very sacred, heavenly, blissful experience of the spirit in the soul that you would find almost impossible to do justice to it in defining it. No doubt you would say, I humbly trust the Lord loves me with an everlasting love, and so it is well. And I'm in the enjoyment of that love now. And it is a river to swim in. You might well say, of the Lord's prescience and wonderful mercy and love and compassion, he has looked upon this poor, guilty, wretched sinner and extended his clemency in Jesus Christ. And I taste the streams, the sweet streams, and more deep I shall drink above. You might well say, it is this. As a perishing, guilty, wretched sinner, the Lord Jesus was revealed in all his glory and beauty and preciousness to my soul. And by faith, the Holy Ghost made me a believer. And I believed to the saving of my soul. And I cast my anchor within the veil in him, in that anchor ground. And I have a living hope. And by precious faith, I have built my hope upon that sure foundation. I feel the support and the bliss of it. You might say, I taste his love. He makes the bitter waters of Marah sweet. He hears my prayer and sees my tears. And I have the hope of heaven. It is well. Now, how many of your dear hearts can echo that gracious language in any degree? I know his saving name. He is precious to my soul. And I know what it is to enjoy communion with him. And he has taken this poor foul sinner and plunged me in the fountain open for sin and all uncleanness, washed my sins away. It is well. Now I wonder whether you're able really to find an acquiescence to any of those sentences, so that in your very soul there is a well-established knowledge that it is well with you. Let it be said immediately, because we do not want to leave out any of the Lord's dear people, and so it must be said that there are times when we are in some degree of darkness and sorely tempted and very fearful, and there are times when doubts rise in the mind. And if anyone said to you, "Is it well with thee?" You would find it very difficult to answer in the affirmative. You would possibly say, "This is what I long for, to know that it is well. If only the dear Lord would assure me. If only he would come and drive all these doubts and fears away and enter in my breast and with me sup and stay." Now I shall find you, so you may not be able to say this morning, "It is well." You long to. You may have said this. You have said this with a feeling heart. But now you may be in a path of great trial and darkness and much temptation, and you're asking the Lord to renew his former loving kindnesses and visit you again. Fulfill that postscript of his, "I will see you again," and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Well, is there a greater question in the whole world than this? Happy souls, and you'll be happy songsters presently when you're brought to know that it is well. It is well. And you will see how the whole scope of this question related to not just the great woman, but with that little man, the quiet man. Didn't say anything much at all. I always think of him as a little man, as it were, naturally almost overshadowed by the tremendous personality of his wife. But in sweet, happy union, oneness. And she well knew that it was well with him. And we have some of those characters in the house of God, those little men, little people. They don't say very much. They're very humble, they're very quiet. They're blessed characters. They're not in the forefront. You don't see very much of them. That is, in a way of prominence, but most gracious characters. Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? Oh, he is dead. It's well with him. What a wonderful thing it is. Just think of it. Well with them while life endures, and well when called to die. Say, the Lord speaks to the prophet, say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. It cannot be otherwise, because the Lord loves you and has made you his sons and daughters. Say it to them in an evil day. Give them this joy. And in their trials and their calamities and their distresses, this is a word for them to solace them and cheer them and revive them and refresh them and heal them. Say to the righteous, it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. That is, the fruit of Christ's doings as their substitute. I read it that way. And also a recognition of the work of the Spirit in them concerning their prayers and their fidelity and faith that the Lord has given them. But chiefly, they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Everything the Lord did for them, they shall eat the fruit of it. But say it to them. So shall I come? Have I come to London now this morning to say to the righteous here, it shall be well with him? You may say things look very complicated and trying and dark and perplexing and bewildering. I know well what that is. But say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. The issue is well. It is well intrinsically, because the Lord loves you, and because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So say it to them, it shall be well. It's a lovely word, isn't it? For people that are in affliction and trial and calamity and distress and pain, and yet they love and fear God. Now he said, say it to them. Tell them from me. Bring this tonic into their spirits. Say to the righteous, it shall be well with him. You'll prove it. The issue will be blessed. Well, I've spent just a little while on putting to the congregation this all-important question, and how wonderful if we have the affirmative answer and response by grace. It is well, she said. And my friends, there you have the blessed exercise of all the graces of the Spirit upon the being of God, upon his character and his perfections, and especially the Lord Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, and his priestly work of atonement and his priestly activity in the heavenlies now, and the work of the Holy Ghost in your soul, and a little of the enjoyment of his love and presence. It's not something that's cold and formal. It's full of life and energy and beauty and love. She answered, it is well. Now I want to take a further step this morning, God willing, and perhaps it will be, shall we say, a character sketch, because there is a significance in every word of Scripture. And so, this dear woman is described by the Lord in a specific way. A great woman. And this greatness goes right through every strata of her spiritual character. No doubt, she was a great personality. Now you know in a church, over many years, you have those that are blessed with a great personality, outstanding personality. Whenever you think of Gower Street, you'll think of certain outstanding characters. Whatever cause of truth you may think of, you immediately think of some outstanding personality that the Lord raised up. And so, without any doubt, she was a great woman in this sense, a great personality. When it comes to gracious ladies, I think of my own church. In years past especially, and think of the dear matron, and nearly everyone called her Gran. She was Gran, very venerable, and the reason why they called her Gran, there were several facets to it. She was one of the old-fashioned midwives. But really, it was this. She was a mother in Israel. And she travailed for souls and brought them forth. And, for instance, after, we will say, the morning service, you would see her sons and daughters gathered round her. They'd be with Gran. And she would be instructing them and inquiring into their cases and their spiritual condition. And she was a great personality. Now, it's a wonderful thing, this is. Although we have had many worthy sisters and matrons since, there's never been anyone of quite the same caliber as Grant. There she was. She sat as a mother in Israel. So undoubtedly, this Shunammite was a great personality. But I want to look a little at the greatness from the spiritual aspect. First of all, what is the greatness? What is greatness in the Church of God? You antecede me. What is it? Greatness is in grace. Or, if I use these terms, in the degree, the holy measure of the spirit and nature of Christ that we receive. That makes greatness. Grace makes greatness. The more grace, you see, it's an amazing thing. The more grace the Lord gives one, the greater they are in humility. They're great in grace. And they're great in humility. So the Lord gave her not only a great personality, and that not only do I view this in a natural way, but also a spiritual way, a great personality. But he made her great by his grace and in humility. Now, I want to just trace out this morning with you her greatness in several particulars. You will know that Elisha the prophet passed to Shunem. Where was this great woman? And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Now, she had great love. She was a woman great in love. She had great affection for the man of God. She esteemed him very highly in love for his work's sake. So she was great in reverence and she was great in love, in the love of God. And so great was her love and her dear husband joined in this, that she had the honor. She was indulged, and she had the plan conceived by love in her spirit to make for him a little chamber on the wall. Great reverence, great love, great affection, great esteem. She was great in love. And how important that is. How wonderful to be great in the love of Christ. For the Lord to make you great in the love of God. To fill you with his love. So she was great in love. And then she was very great also in discernment. She said to her husband, I perceive what? That this is an holy man of God, great in discernment, that passeth by us continually. Great in discernment. And if you look into the body of the text, great in discernment there, to discern her own condition, the condition of her husband and the little boy. Great in discernment. Now, let us go a little further. What a memorial to that great love and affection and esteem was that little chamber. There it was, specially for the prophet, all for him. Completely furnished by love. Now then, as Elisha knew the comfort and the liberty and the joy of that little chamber on the wall, must have been a lovely place, a Bethel to him, that little chamber. Ministers sometimes, when they are entertained, find a Bethel, an absolute Bethel. Immediately they enter the door, under the roof, they find an absolute Bethel. Sweet liberty, the Lord is there. So, as he enjoyed the liberty and the peace and the communion and the smile of God in that little chamber, you will know that he sought that there should be some tangible reward manifested to this dear woman. And there is a word here that is one of the sweetest words in the annals of the church. He said, call her, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. Now what shall be done for thee? A pinnacle of time in the land, wouldest thou be spoken for to the king? Oh, he would speak to the king if she desired it. Do you want to be spoken for to the king? Yes, you'll say, King Jesus. Or to the captain of the host? No, she gives this lovely reply. She was great in contentment. What did she answer? I dwell among mine own people. I'm satisfied. I want no greater honor. I dwell among mine own people. Think of that as it relates to the Lord and his church. That family on earth whose father fills the throne. And think of it in the local churches. If the Lord has well set down your feet in a church, there's no doubt you had this feeling, like Ruth. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. Great in contentment, I dwell among mine own people. Now these are the valuable souls in a church. Those who have thy divine grace, such a fixation in their spirit. These are my people. By the sovereign grace of God, I wish to live with them and die with them. Great in contentment. Not just a sort of a fair weather member. All the time there's prosperity and the sun shines, it's all right, but if adversity comes, well, that's another matter. You see what I mean? I dwell among mine own people. Lord, let me stand in my lot, stand in that place, stand in fidelity according to my profession. I dwell among mine own people. Great in contentment. It's a wonderful thing that. Are you in it? You say, I don't seek any honor. I don't seek anything more than this. I dwell among mine own people. Because this is an eternal thing. And then, what is the next reference we shall make to greatness? You may be astonished. They received a great blessing. That is this dear son. And then they came into a great trial. And these things go together, my friends. Where there are great blessings, there are great trials. And it could not have been really a greater trial for this little lad, when he was grown. I don't know exactly how old he was, but you can see him as a lad. And he comes to his father. He says, my head, my head. Oh, his head must have been dreadful. Pain, the distress in his head. And pain is terrible to bear. He says, my head, my poor, oh, my poor head, as it were. And his mother took him on her knees until noon, and he died. So you see, there was a great blessing and then a great trial. Poor soul, have you entered into a great trial? You see, these things go together. You have these great blessings, and then a great trial. This is where perhaps I may have surprised you. A great trial. Now then, there's one other thing. That is, the Lord blessed her with great wisdom. I might name a number of other facets of this greatness, but he blessed her with great wisdom. What did she do? She took him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. As it were, laid him on the faithfulness of God. Amen.